Welcome to Behind the Story, a program where we take you straight to the source. In this episode, we'll hear about a first-of-its-kind program at Fort Hood. This month, Fort Hood, one of the largest military installations in the world, and federal prosecutors are piloting a veterans treatment court. They'll continue to pilot it throughout the coming months. This specialized court provides veterans who commit a misdemeanor on the post with the opportunity to avoid a federal conviction if they can successfully complete treatment and counseling courses. In this episode of Behind the Story, we'll first hear the original story KWBU aired. After that, we'll talk with Captain Patrick Robinson about the court and what it means for veterans at Fort Hood. This is Behind the Story. Texas has one of the country's largest veteran populations, with roughly 1.5 million living in the Lone Star State. There's also, according to the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, an estimated 11,000 veterans incarcerated in Texas prisons. The state made substantial ground to address the needs of this population when in 2009, the 81st Texas Legislature saw the passing of Senate Bill 1940, which established pretrial veterans court programs in the state. Today, there are 23 veteran courts programs in Texas, and they've served as examples for the model Fort Hood looks to emulate. Like these programs, Fort Hood's Veterans Endeavor for Treatment and Support, or VETS, is intensive.
This is not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
That's Patrick Robinson, Chief of Federal Litigation at Fort Hood. He's been a key member of the team that got the VETS pilot program started, which is the first veterans treatment court program on a U.S. Army base. Similar to the other treatment court programs in Texas, VETS seeks to help veterans who have committed misdemeanors by offering them rehabilitation, not punishment.
Really, when you think about it, what we're looking for are offenses that are manifestations of the symptoms of their mental health or substance abuse disorder. And if the offense kind of logically seems as though it's a symptom of a bigger underlying issue, then we want to consider that veteran for this particular program.
The screening process for VETS isn't an easy one. A review panel made up of the prosecution, the defense, the court, pretrial services, and other involved agencies review all applications. Veterans who meet all the requirements are then enrolled in the program, but must first plead guilty to their offense. Steve Walden, a defense attorney who has represented clients that have gone through the Veterans Court in Bell County, says part of the process includes attending counseling sessions and bi-monthly court dates.
And then to go from that into potentially 18 months of various treatments, reporting back to the court, you're under a microscope for 18 months. Most people will say, look, I'd rather just come in, plead guilty, take a couple of days in the jail up in Waco, and be done. That would be the easy route.
If a veteran can successfully complete the program, their original plea is withdrawn and their case dismissed. While no veteran going through VETS at Fort Hood could be interviewed for this story, Walden says they're a hardworking group who are just trying to deal with the trials of reintegrating into society.
At the end of the day, what we want people to do is get treatment for their help and not re-enter the criminal justice system.
Part of accomplishing that goal and proving to be a successful model for other would-be veterans treatment courts on military bases hinges on the involvement of veteran mentors. These are veterans who volunteer to help and guide those going through the VETS program. Robinson calls them a key component to how the veterans treatment court works.
The mentors are critical because they provide an additional ally for the veterans, but they also represent the community, both the local community, because our mentors are coming from Killeen and Harker Heights and Coppers Cove and Waco and Temple. They represent that community, the local community, but they also represent the veteran community.
That community, says Robinson, is what made Fort Hood an ideal location to pilot the program. This past week, VETS enrolled its first veteran clients, and they're looking to help more in the coming months. And now, we'll hear from Captain Patrick Robinson, Chief of Federal Litigation for the Senior Headquarters assigned to Fort Hood. He's played a key role in getting the Veterans Court pilot program at the base started. Patrick, thank you for talking with KWBU today.
Absolutely. I'm grateful.
To start off, Patrick, can you talk a bit about the genesis of the Veterans Court at Fort Hood specifically?
At Fort Hood specifically, The Veterans Treatment Court was developed by the federal magistrate judge Jeffrey Mansky, and I think his awareness of veterans issues. He's been the federal magistrate judge here at Fort Hood since 2000, and he's seen many veterans come through his court as defendants. Recognized many of them have common issues with regard to substance abuse or mental health difficulties, and I think a recognition that there may be an effective way to use the treatment court model to resolve some of their issues. The U.S. Attorney's Office in the Western District of Texas, and specifically the U.S. Attorney Richard Durbin, also I think recognized that opportunity here at Fort Hood, and I think the combination of both of their interests and the way in which the Veterans Treatment Court brings to life some of the programs from the Department of Justice, specifically the Smart on Crime initiative and their work with military communities and veterans. You know, I think all of those things came together to identify Fort Hood as a great location to start a veterans treatment court. Now, I think another component of it is that Fort Hood is, you know, really the largest military installation in the free world, with a supported population of somewhere in the neighborhood of 400,000 people, roughly 150,000 of whom are veterans. So there's also a significant opportunity in reaching many of those veterans through a program like the Veterans Treatment Court at Fort Hood.
And what was your role in all of this?
I am the Special Assistant United States Attorney, and so I serve as the prosecutor assigned to Fort Hood. I am responsible for prosecuting civilian misconduct and, by and large, anything that happens on Fort Hood that involves civilians, that's my job. With regard to the Veterans Treatment Court specifically, I participate with the other stakeholders at our committee meetings. I interact with the defendant veterans, and I have, with the assistance of the other stakeholders, been involved in the planning process for this particular court. It's been quite the road from, I think roughly about 6 months ago when we first started working at planning this court, but we've had significant help in our planning from Bell County, from Todd Germstad and his team there at the Bell County Veterans Treatment Court. Judge Rebecca DePue runs that court, and she allowed us to attend their proceedings. From Williamson County, from Travis County, Judge Denton down in Travis County allowed us to come observe their proceedings and served as a resource for us. So my job has been heavily involved in the planning of this particular court, but then I will continue to serve on the court as the representative of the United States Attorney's Office as we review applications and we find the best treatment programs, the best treatment curricula that we can for a particular defendant veteran to help get them back on the right path.
Patrick, for our listeners, can you outline the process of getting accepted into the Veterans Treatment Court, starting with a veteran committing a misdemeanor on the base?
Sure. So when a veteran commits a crime on Fort Hood, we receive a copy of that file from the military police. We review it and we file charges as we view are appropriate based on what happened. Normally what will happen is then as the court date approaches, we'll discuss the cases with the defense counsel and try and identify individuals who may be appropriately placed in the Veterans Treatment Court. We'll provide the application and materials to the defense counsel and then we will receive the application back from them. That application then gets sent out to the vets team, the court, the judge, federal judge, federal magistrate Jeffrey Mansky, the pretrial services officer, who is sort of the pre-court probation officer who supervises the defendant, the Veterans Justice Outreach Specialist, the social worker. He's a social worker from the Department of Veterans Affairs who comes out and sits on our panel, and then the veteran mentor coordinator. So all of us will get the application, we'll review it, and we'll assess it for the criteria for entry into our into the court. And those criteria are we're looking for folks who at some point served in the military, who have a diagnosed mental health or substance abuse disorder, and that disorder both relates in some way to their military service, but also to the offense that that is alleged against them. That defendant veteran then, if you know, we assess them against those criteria, if they're accepted into the program, they're required to enter a plea of guilty to their offense and accept responsibility. But then we hold on to that plea of guilty for the duration of their participation in the program. And if they do successfully complete the program, which can take as long as 18 months, then that that plea is actually withdrawn, and then their case is dismissed, and you know they can continue on without fear of that case coming back on them. It's important to note, though, that the offenses we deal with are misdemeanors only. Types of misdemeanors we would see in this court are driving while intoxicated, maybe some possession of controlled substances, and then we may see some assaults or low-level assaults. Really, when you think about it, what we're looking for are offenses that are manifestations of the symptoms of their mental health or substance abuse disorder. And if the offense kind of logically seems as though it's a symptom of a bigger underlying issue, then we want to consider that veteran for this particular program.
Now, the program takes up to 18 months, and there's multiple check-ins each month with the court and with counselors. It sounds pretty rigorous.
That's exactly correct. This is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. This is a 12 to 18-month-long program that requires intensive supervision and mental health treatment. Veterans need to commit at the outset to court dates every you know 2 weeks, two court dates a month, plus significant contact with the pretrial services officer, with the social worker from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and with their treating behavioral health providers. That's a lot to ask. And you know, ultimately, when they work their way through all of those challenges, they come out on the other side with a lot more tools in their toolkit, with connections to enduring treatment solutions, things that they can reach out to even after they're done with our program. But it's hard work. It is not an easy process getting through this. But when they do, they are much better off for it.
You know, Patrick, some critics of veterans treatment courts have said the justice system shouldn't allow for special treatment of a particular group. Do you think that's a fair evaluation of veterans courts, and is that a fair criticism?
Well, the appropriate exercise of prosecutorial discretion requires a case-by-case review. And a prosecutor who is doing his or her job well will look at the offense and any mitigation, any extenuation, all of the surrounding circumstances of that offense. And that's what we're doing with the Veterans Treatment Court. It just so happens that many veterans share similar characteristics. Veterans, as a very small segment of the population, have all volunteered to some extent to place themselves in harm's way. They've all experienced leaving their homes, the communities they're familiar with, and they've experienced distance from family. And then there are the real obvious things. The military veterans, especially those military veterans who were recently in the service, have deployed. They've spent time in combat zones. They've spent time in combat. They've lost individuals with whom they've served. They've felt the pain of you know, a brother or sister in arms who went downrange with them and didn't come home. So veterans, as a category, do share a great deal of mitigation and extenuation. But we still look at each case individually. It's not that all veterans get you know, special treatment or something along those lines, but they do share common characteristics that you know need to be taken into account whenever a prosecutor is evaluating a case and trying to seek justice. I think all of those things are an effective response to those particular challenges. But again, it's not a get out of jail free card. So despite the fact that putting them into a veterans treatment court, it's not as though they're getting an easy way out by any means. I think those critics in some ways lack a little bit of a nuanced appreciation for the exercise of prosecutorial discretion.
Now, I think I could take a guess at what your answer might be here, Patrick, but what are your, I guess, ultimate goals for the program?
Well, I think all of us who are involved want to see veterans who are in the program succeed, to see them come back into society with tools that will help them deal with the challenges they have, whether it's substance abuse or mental health. I think the goal ultimately is to affect in a positive way as many veterans as we possibly can. I think we've laid a good framework here for this veterans treatment court, and I think we're obviously looking at improving the processes we have and procedures we have, and building a court that that others can look to as an example as well. Veterans treatment courts, I think, are an effective way to improve the lives of justice-involved veterans and get them back on the right track. And I think any community that has a significant population of veterans should look at whether a veterans treatment court is appropriate. So, you know, if Fort Bragg in North Carolina, if Joint Base Lewis-McChord up in Washington State, if these other installations that have significant veterans populations and similar to Fort Hood are, you know, exclusive federal jurisdiction, you know, then perhaps they have an opportunity to put a program in place. But again, all of that is, I think, aimed at positively impacting the lives of as many veterans as we possibly can. Now, these are people who have, many of whom have hit rock bottom, you know, and we want to lift them back up and bring them back into our community, into this veteran population, and just kind of bring them back. You know, it's part of our warrior ethos to never leave a fallen comrade. And many of these veterans who are now justice involved, are feeling like they're being left behind, maybe in some respect, but they're not. And we're reaching out for them, and we're doing our best to bring them back into the fold.
Now, going forward, Patrick, what do you think is the key component that will guarantee this program's longevity? What's going to keep it around?
I think the one thing I would emphasize is the need for mentors to be a part of this. As I said before, the mentors are critical because they provide an additional ally for the veterans, but they also represent the community. Both the local community, because our mentors are coming from Killeen and Harker Heights and Copper's Cove and Waco and Temple. They represent that community, the local community, but they also represent the veteran community. So if I were to emphasize one point, it is the need for veterans who are out there in the area to get involved in veterans treatment courts. And if it's Fort Hood, that's amazing. You know, we welcome supporters. But there are other courts in this area, Bell County, Williamson County, down in Travis County. There are quite a few courts in this area that certainly could use the help of the veteran community and in the service to the courts as mentors.
That was Captain Patrick Robinson, who played an instrumental role in starting the Veterans Court pilot program at Fort Hood. Now we'll hear from Steve Walden. KWBU first spoke with Walden on January 22nd. He's a Texas defense attorney who has represented clients that have gone through the Veterans Court in Bell County. Steve, thank you for talking with KWBU today. Now, we talked earlier with Captain Patrick Robinson, and he told us a bit about the process of getting in the program, but can you tell us what might happen once a veteran client completes the program and all the courses and treatment? Does the original misdemeanor get dismissed? What's the end result here?
Well, the in part can be, and that's where there's several alternatives along the way. The in part could be a dismissal of the offense. As far as keeping it off their record, I think what we're really talking about is there a conviction on their record. And so what that would mean is if they can successfully complete the program, which would be up to a year and a half, it could potentially be a year and a half, where they go through various programs, provide some community service, and there's some things they have to do. It's not an easy program. It's not a something where you just get what they would call a slap on the wrist. So if they complete all that, there's a potential that they will not have a conviction.
Now, have you worked with veteran clients before that have gone through the similar veterans treatment court that's here in Bell County?
To a limited degree, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a great veterans court in Bell County, and the folks over at Fort Hood, including Captain Robinson and the judge, Judge Mansky, took a look at what Bell County was doing and saw a lot of aspects that they adopted directly into this program.
And Steve, can you describe these clients for me? They're obviously veterans who have been through some traumatic experiences and have gone into some trouble, but can you just describe their characteristics?
Well, these are going to be people just like you and I that have not gotten in trouble in the past. That's one of the qualifiers. That this is a person who doesn't have a criminal history, or I guess I should say a significant criminal history. Somebody who's been identified that is going to be a self-starter. Somebody who is going to be, you know, they're willing to ask for help, first of all, but also showing that they're going to take the initiative to be involved in this program. They're identifying themselves as somebody who's not willing to take just the easy route, but willing to work on something. So it's going to be somebody with a little bit of work ethic is what you're going to see.
Now, as a veteran goes through the program, what's day one like?
That roundtable discussion that we were talking about, that's actually what's going on today, where that potential veteran in the process is being vetted, so to speak, talking about the potentials for rehabilitation. A little bit about the offense itself. Make sure this is somebody that, you know, the offense shows that there should be an impact. There possibly is an impact from what that person's gone through. They can look at their medical history, psychological history, treatment history, or the lack thereof, and determine that basically this could have been something that was caused or contributed to by that person's mental status from PTSD or other conditions they picked up while they're in the military.
And to get accepted into the program, the crime committed has to be a misdemeanor. It can't be anything much bigger than that. But Steve, do you think it'll ever get to where felonies are maybe considered?
I think it possibly could. Because naturally involved with this process, it's not just Captain Robinson, who's the prosecutor on Fort Hood, but actively involved with all of these discussions is the U.S. Attorney, Mr. Durbin, out of San Antonio. So as we've had these meetings to prepare for this program, the U.S. Attorney himself has come up. The chief prosecutor up in Waco, Mark Frazier, has also been very involved. And those are the guys that are dealing directly with the felony cases in the Western District. So I think there is a high potential that the courts could consider this for even felony charges.
Now, the program's in the pilot stage right now, but what is it do you think might be an indicator, or what might we see that would determine whether the program is worth continuing or not?
I think what we're going to see is some success stories where we've had somebody who got in trouble on Fort Hood, committed an offense that we wouldn't typically expect them to do. They go through the program, get the help and treatment that they need, and they go through the program, successfully complete it, not relapse into, if it's a drug issue or an alcohol issue, not relapse into that, but then continue on to a successful life. And so I think we need a few of those success stories, and then people are going to look back at this and say, that's a great program. That's exactly what we're looking for. Because at the end of the day, what we want people to do is get treatment for their help and not re-enter the criminal justice system. So with those stories, some anecdotes from that, I think that we'll have other courts looking at what we're doing, and this court will expand.
Do you think the success of this pilot program will give way to other treatment courts on bases in the country?
Absolutely. And there have been discussions. There are other bases that are tracking what we're doing. For instance, Fort Bragg, who I would say is the second largest in, you know, other large installations like Fort Campbell in Kentucky and then Fort Lewis up in Washington. I think they would be looking at programs like this because they have a similar magistrate court program like we do at Fort Hood. So I think that they're going to look with interest of what we've got going on, because most people say, well, why should we have a veterans court? Everybody here is military anyway. And so that's maybe why a lot of people gloss over that and then begin to realize that on Fort Hood, what we're really talking about are folks that have gotten out of the military, been out for a while, are possibly even using veterans benefits now, or are entitled to them but just not using them. So these are going to be the folks that are not active duty but have gotten out and would be able to go to Temple, go to Waco, and get veterans benefits.
You know, it also seems like veterans treatment courts also serve as a way of to help veterans readjust to civilian life.
Absolutely. And let's also recognize that whenever you're going through the criminal justice system, there are a lot of people that won't be able to directly relate to the history of what these people bring, their unique circumstances. By having a veterans court, you're going to have mentors. You're going to have counselors and therapists who either have personal knowledge of what they've witnessed, whether it's here on our own soil or fighting somewhere else. Because if you're going through the criminal justice system in its regular sense, you're probably going to deal with prosecutors, defense lawyers, judges, probation officers who can't relate to some of the unique conditions, some of the problems, the issues that the defendant is dealing with. So, you're exactly right. This is part of that. Let's bring these folks back home and get them readjusted back into society.
Since first being established in 2009, there's now more than 20 veterans courts in Texas counties, and it's something like more than 200 nationwide. Do you think that veterans treatment courts are becoming a popular and viable means of taking care of our veterans?
Yeah, I think in large part. I mean, here's the part where as an attorney, I kind of pat myself on the back collectively. Because I think our bar associations, the attorneys that are involved in it, there's a great network of veterans attorneys, as well as folks that I guess relate to veterans that were in the bar associations. And so as you get together as bar associations, there's a lot of talk and a lot of desire in different counties and different regions to have programs like this. Whether it's an attorney who's been in the military, an attorney who's been in the military themselves or knows somebody. Attorneys are really pushing for different programs like this. Judges want programs like this. It gives them a lot of flexibility in sentencing. So that's why I think it's catching on.
That was Steve Walden. He's a Texas defense attorney who has represented clients that have gone through the Veterans Court in Bell County. In this episode of Behind the Story, we've been talking about a first-of-its-kind pilot program at Fort Hood, which provides veterans who commit a misdemeanor on the post with the opportunity to avoid a federal conviction if they can successfully complete treatment and counseling courses. You can hear this episode and past episodes of Behind the Story online at kwbu.org.